Hello, Homewood family. Hello, friends. Hey, I've got some exciting news for you. Next week, June 14th, we're going to regather for our worship services again. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to have three Sunday morning services, one at 8:30 and one at 9:45. They'll be more traditional in nature. And then one at 11 o'clock, which will be more contemporary. And you're going to have to sign up for these services. And our sign-up sheet, if you can just honor us in this way, will begin on Monday morning at 10 a.m., and it'll go through Friday at 3 o'clock. And you will be free to sign up for one of those three services, either on our website, homewoodefc.org, or you can call our office and sign up in that way. We're limiting these services to 50 congregants. So the first 50 that sign up, that makes up that service. So again, wait until Monday morning at 10 a.m. and you've got time to sign up either on our website or by calling the office and signing up in that way. It's going to be great to be back together again. Now, for those of you who don't feel comfortable, don't feel you're ready, that's okay. We are going to record one of those three services on Sunday morning, June 14th, and we'll be recording them and we'll be posting them just like we've posted these services. And we're also going to continue to do one during the week as well. And here's the change that's going to happen this week. Instead of it going out on Tuesday and Thursday, what we're going to do is have one on Wednesday. One will be released on Wednesday. It too will be from the pep talk that Jesus has shared, and we'll be releasing them through the end of the month of June. We'll be doing that, and then those midweek recordings will stop at that point. So, hey, it's going to be great to be together. Let's begin our worship time together with this prayer from Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 18, and it seems appropriate in light of what's going on. Lord, we pray that we can have a good, clear conscience before you, and we desire to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And Lord, I pray that you would restore us together sooner. And we pray that you, the God of all peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, may you equip us in every good thing to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and forever and ever. Amen. Hey, let's worship the Lord in song.
Together, Lord.
Okay, now we pick up the pep talk in John chapter 16. We've had some pretty sunny, hot days recently, haven't we? You know, so much so that the sun is almost overwhelming. And the sun is a good thing. Some of it can be very helpful, but too much sun is not helpful. It can be harmful. It can burn you. So that's why we have sunscreen, so that we can benefit from sun, but yet not be burned by the sun. And that reminds me of what it's like living in this world. We live in this sinful world, this sinful fallen world, and there's this constant spiritual attack against the followers of Jesus, and they're out to harm us, to destroy us, and we need help. So in this passage in John chapter 16, Jesus' pep talk now is about the harm that's coming our way, bracing us for that, but also the help that he's going to send to us as well. So we begin in the first four verses of John chapter 16 where Jesus talks about harm from the world. So verse 1 says this, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." I think "these things" is referring to what he was talking about in chapter 15, beginning of verse 18, where he identified for his followers that the world is going to hate you. And what he had in mind there in the world is the unbelievers, the non-Christians of the world, who are under this fallen, sinful world system that's controlled by the devil, and it's opposed to God. And the world in that way is going to hate you. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate the followers of Jesus. And that will be their reaction, because you don't march to their drumbeat. Their values, what's important to them, you used to march to that, but you don't march to that anymore. So the world is going to hate you. And he's telling them these things so they won't stumble. They won't fall away from God. Because otherwise they might become disillusioned. They might be resentful toward God because he didn't brace himself for these things. They might doubt. I think it's really important that we help young Christians to understand. Though salvation is a free gift by grace through faith in Christ, it's a free gift. There is a cost to following Jesus. And with it, this world and this world system will oppose us. And there will be opposition and resistance and persecution because they love the darkness rather than the light of Christ. And we do a disservice to young Christians if we lead them to believe that, hey, if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, everything's going to be great. I think we need to point out to them it's going to be a great life, but yet there will be resistance from the world. There will be opposition. There will be persecution. I experienced this pretty intensely from my own father. When I became a Christian, my dad was pretty hostile about my faith in Christ, and he pretty strongly resisted it in those years of following Christ. And it was passages like this that helped me, that braced me to handle such hostility, even in my own family with my father. The good news is that years later, my father did come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But there were pretty hard times with his hostile resistance, and being braced in this way helped me. And Jesus, in speaking frankly to his disciples, says, they're going to make you outcasts from the synagogue. That means they were going to be excommunicated from their own synagogues. That's being cut off from life, community life. The synagogue was the center of where they enjoyed their religious life, their worship. It's where their education took place. It's where their social life took place. And because they were going to be followers of Christ, they were going to be cut off from all of that community life, from their own synagogues. And Jesus says here, hey, an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. They'll be so misled that these Jews, whether it's in the synagogue with beating followers of Jesus or taking their life, or the Jewish Sanhedrin, the high official synagogue or officials, our high court, putting people to death because they become followers of Jesus, he's preparing them that this is going to come, this is going to happen. And down through church history, this has happened. Sometimes it's been at the hands of atheists that Christians have suffered immensely. Sometimes it's been because of zealots for other religions. And sometimes, sadly, it's been through the established church, with people who are leaders in that established church who don't know the Lord. And they become the source of resistance and hostility and persecution and even taking the lives of sincere followers of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus identifies in verse 3, the reason they act this way is because they don't know the Father or me. They don't have that personal relationship with God the Father or me. And that's why they're going to treat you in this way. In verse 4, he identifies, hey, up to this point, I've been with you, so there was no need for me to tell you that because I've received the brunt of this persecution and opposition. But now he's preparing them, as verse 4 identifies, these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, or this hour comes and their hour comes, you may remember I told you of them. And there is something about being braced ahead of time when the Lord tells you this is going to come. And then when it comes, it doesn't blindside you. You're prepared for it and you can handle it because he's prepared you in that way. Now, we're going to need a lot of help when these things come. And so Jesus goes on to identify, okay, this harm is going to come from the world, but I'm bringing help as well. I'm telling you ahead of time to prepare you, but the helper is going to come as well. The help comes from the Spirit, this helper I've been telling you about. So verse 5, he says, but now I'm going to him who sent me. That's what he's been trying to get through to his followers. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. No one has offered a follow-up from Peter's question in chapter 13 and verse 36, where Peter asked Jesus, where are you going, Lord? And no one has offered that follow-up question. If anything, what has happened is the disciples are feeling sorrow, but it's a selfish sorrow. Lord, we don't want to be away from you. We want you with us. We don't want you to leave us. So in that sense, it's a selfish sorrow on their part. And I think we have to admit that many times we have a selfish sorrow as well. Now, I recognize there is a genuine sorrow that we have to work through, and the grief and sorrow, but sometimes our sorrow is a selfish sorrow. It's because creature comforts are being taken away from us, and we don't want that to happen. We don't like being uncomfortable. And I really think the way to overcome that kind of selfish sorrow is to tell ourselves, where did Jesus go? Where is Jesus at right now? And how does that change everything? And we know where Jesus went. He went to the Father. That's where he's at right now, in a position of supreme authority. That changes everything. So if we're feeling uncomfortable and we've got this selfish kind of reaction, I want my creature comforts back. Just tell yourself again, where did Jesus go? And that changes everything. And so he goes on to tell them, I'm telling you the truth. It's actually to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, that the helper, he will not come to you. The divine plan is this, that as long as Jesus was here with people, the helper, the Holy Spirit, won't come to people. Jesus talked about that earlier in John's gospel in chapter 7, beginning in verses 37 through 39, where he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you're saying, I want that. I want those rivers of living water. Well, the next verse explains when the followers of Jesus will experience this. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believe in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And Jesus is saying, when I go back to the Father, then I will send the Holy Spirit. And then you will experience the rivers of living water inside of you. And that kind of life bubbling forth from inside of you, it's to your advantage, disciples, that I go away. Because when I go back to the Father, according to chapter 14, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. And then we pick up in chapter 15 and here in chapter 16, God the Son, the Lord Jesus, will send the Holy Spirit as well. And here's the advantage. When Jesus, so long as he was with followers of him on earth, it was limited to the physical vicinity of where Jesus was. So it would only be those followers who are in a physical proximity to where Jesus is. Those are the ones who would experience God being with them. But what about followers of Jesus on the other side of the world? They won't experience God being with them because Jesus hasn't gone back to the Father yet. But it's to our advantage when he goes back. He would pour out, he would send the Holy Spirit, and then there would be no physical limitations. The Holy Spirit would be the same as having Jesus with us. He will do and does do the same things that Jesus did when he was on earth, only now it's with no physical limitations whatsoever. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus with people, only now with people from within people, experiencing rivers of living water bubbling forth from inside of people. And it's like Jesus doing things from within every single person all over the globe. These kind of things are taking place. How exciting that this is happening. It's all happening simultaneously with the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of every believer in Jesus Christ. We have a sleep number bed. And in our bed, we've got two controls where Rachel can increase or decrease the pressure in the bed, and I can as well. And there's some times where you feel like you've been beaten up so much by what's happened that we're thinking, I need to increase the pressure. I need a higher number on the inflation on my side of the bed because my body's taken a beating this week. And so Rachel might increase that number to a higher number, and I might increase my number. And it's because the beating you've taken, the what's been attacking you this week, you need more help. You need an increase of help. And then there are times after that you recover after a few days, and you can go back to the help that was there before, the pressure that was there before to sustain and help you, and that's sufficient. Sometimes we look at life and say, would I be able to handle it if there were intense persecution because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? How much could I handle if things, I've experienced some pretty tough things, but what if it got worse? Would I be able to handle it? I'm not sure if I would. Well, here's the wonderful key, that when the attack increases and then the harm increases and the evil increases, the Holy Spirit just increases the amount of support that he gives to make you equal to the pressure and give you all that you need as he gives the help, so that you are more than equal to the pressure, with rivers of living water flowing forth from inside of you. And it's a supernatural thing that you experience where, I don't know how I can go through this. I don't know how I got through it. But the Holy Spirit simply increased the flow from within me. So it countered the pressure and the opposition, and I was able to go through it. So is there going to be harm and hostility? Yes. But with the greater harm and hostility and attacks comes the greater help from the Holy Spirit. What a great time to transition into prayer at this point. Now let's begin by praying for our mission spotlight. Kent and Denise Dahlberg, who are serving the Lord on the Dartmouth campus in Dartmouth in New Hampshire. And I'm sure they've experienced all the change that's gone with the coronavirus. Let's pray for them right now as they're doing things online and trying to be effective for the Lord. Let's pray for the Dahlbergs at this point. And I imagine that you're sharing my grief as we look at what's happening in the country, all of the hostility that's out there over the justice, over racial issues. And we need to keep praying about this. Pray for justice. Pray for racial reconciliation. But pray for our church, that we would exemplify what reconciliation looks like. And we would exemplify what a commitment to justice looks like too. Hey, let's ask together that we would be open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do inside of us. Can you just open up in that way and say, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do with me, with us, may it be. And let's continue to request of the Father that he would bring healing, both physically and spiritually, with the virus and all that's happened in our country and our world because of it. And let's ask for God to give us a smooth transition back to regathering next Sunday, and just ask the Lord to help us have loving attitudes and serving attitudes and just joyful attitudes as we have the opportunity to gather again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for revealing these truths to us. You braced us that there will be opposition, persecution, and resistance from the world when we have become followers of Jesus Christ. And just give us the extra strength we need in those times to be good ambassadors for you. And thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, the help that he brings, the rivers of living water, that life-giving power. Thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, we don't have to fear when there's an increase of pressure. The Holy Spirit will just increase the counter pressure and give us what we need. Thank you for that wonderful gift. In the name of Christ, amen. Hey friends, remember, the next mini service will be on Wednesday of this week. And again, please sign up for one of our three services starting on Monday morning at 10 a.m. And you'll have till Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., whether it's on our Homewood EFC website or by calling the office and signing up in that way. Look forward to being with you on Wednesday.